Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Woman, put that suitcase down, honey. Don't go downtown. I ain't even see that no more. Oh, I can wash and go for you. Do the things I used to do. I ain't lying this time, it's true. Oh, I clean your fingernails. Stay out of jail. Oh, I can love you better than before. Put that suitcase down. Don't go downtown. Oh, girl, I can keep seeing.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 19th of May, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And the Guardian Media Group wants to tell you right at the top of the show about their cruise giveaway promotion. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel want to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right. No visa required. You have four ways to enter and four ways to win. One, fill out the form in the Nassau Guardian. Two, listen to Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Four, you can make a purchase at Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. That's June 27th, 2025. Drawing is on July 4th, 2025. So pack your bags, get ready to soak up the sun, and feel that ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime, brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply, airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included. I also want to remind you of the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, organized by the great-great-great-great-grandson of Loyalist Charles Farquharson, Dennis Carlton Bethel. This competition is open to junior and senior high school students across the archipelago. Three winners will be chosen, one from New Providence or Grand Bahama, and one from the rest of the family islands. To win the competition, you must submit the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. That's the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. And the date, the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. Call the show, let the producer know you want to play the competition. We'll take your information, and then we'll let you know if you are a winner. Joining me in studio this morning, I have Alicia Wallace from the organization Equality Bahamas. And we are having a conversation rooted in or prompted by comments made by the former Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham last week. At the end of the week on Friday, Ingraham, Bahamian women lack urgency on citizenship inequality. Former Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham said a lack of urgency from Bahamian women and indifference from male politicians have allowed the status quo on the country's discriminatory citizenship laws to persist. His comment yesterday came 3 years after he said he expected the Davis administration to change citizenship laws and criminalize marital rape, neither of which the administration has shown an appetite to do. We'll put a full stop there, right? So I had invited Equality Bahamas founder and director Alicia Wallace to come in and have a conversation about some of the comments that Mr. Ingraham made, but juxtaposed to a new project or program, an initiative emanating from Equality Bahamas called Developing Feminist Standards for Governance, right? And so I want to couch the conversation in this way. Like, I want to sit everybody down in the right seat in the chair. Ingram makes the comments and he says he expected the Davis administration to change citizenship laws and criminalize marital rape. In today's Guardian, the front page, Davis tells PLP to get battle ready. And so, I want to interrogate all of this juxtaposed to Equality Bahamas' continued programming, because this is a second or third initiative, right? Because it developing standards for governance mirrors the election cycle, right? I am not sure if Davis, though, is battle ready. Like, first of all, the first question I ask is, who are we fighting? Who are we warring with, Prime Minister? See, because if you tell me it's time to go to battle, like my good housekeeper told me 25, almost 30 plus years ago, when I asked her, what would you do if Sir Lyndon says it's time to go to war? She said, I go in back to Andrus and I collect in every conch shell and rock I have in my arsenal. See, so Prime Minister, when you say it's time to get battle ready, I'm ready to defend my country. But is that the battle you getting us ready? Is that what you're getting ready for? Because I don't be into battling against other Bahamians. I don't be into battling against people in my own country, you know? And so, Ingram, Bahamian women lack urgency on citizenship inequality. Davis tells PLP to get battle ready. Equality Bahamas is providing a space for people to develop feminist standards for governance. And I'd like to ask Ms. Wallace in Equality Bahamas, exactly what are feminist standards for governance? And what do you mean when you say developing feminist standards for governance? Now, I know a lot of people, as soon as they hear the word feminist, they be like, oh, Ms. Green on this thing again. Well, I like to declare my biases. Some days I wear them on my back. If you see me today, you'll know what I'm saying. But the point is, if you're uncomfortable with the word feminist in this conversation, but you are interested in developing standards for governance, for engaging the next election cycle as a more informed or empowered member of the electorate, voter, or citizen, then just don't listen to the word feminist. Just listen to the rest of the words and imagine how the program or project that Equality Bahamas is launched of assistance to you creating your own program, developing standards or your own standards for governance. Good morning, Miss. Oh, and before we get there, all of that now is happening against this backdrop. I had two of the most amazingly wild experiences this weekend. The first you may not think was as wild as I thought it was. When I left my house on Sunday morning, Johnson Road North, at the intersection, approaching the intersection to the Eastern Road, was obstructed. Obstructed for roadworks. Now, I knew that at some point in time we were going to have some roadworks there, not because of a notice that I read in the paper or that I heard on the radio, or signs posted in the immediate area, but because somebody had cut up the road. Somebody had cut up the road and left it, I don't know. It's like, you know, when you dig a hole, but it becomes a mound? I don't know how they do that, but that's what happened. So I knew that there were gonna be roadworks happening soon, I just didn't know when. So when I left my house on Sunday morning as we were heading north on Johnson Road, and we were entering one of the most dangerous curves, one of the most dangerous sections of road on the island of New Providence, we saw some cones in the road. But we couldn't tell at the angle we were at how the cones were oriented. So we proceeded with caution to be met with a car road hill from the Eastern Road. There was a water and sewerage team there. Let me say from the break, I cussed them. See, I don't like, there's some words I don't like using on the radio. Those words are goons, buffoons, and stupid. I don't like using goons, buffoons, and stupid on the radio. But it's 2025. And I feel I have to ask the Prime Minister, how could you be getting ready for battle, but you are unable to battle the issues within your own administration? It's 2025, and we have supposed professionals out on the road doing government work, but all they're doing is terrorizing ordinary citizens. How could you have a whole water and sewage team digging up the road on one of the most dangerous curves in the country with no proper signage, notice approaching the work site? It's 2025. See, BPL and Alstom has been a constant conversation on my show. I can tell you all this right now. I'm going to run BPL. I'll sell the Prime Minister and all his children who I know, and the lovely Mrs. Anne Marie Davis. If I could get Pike back in here, you know why? Because Pike, every site that I pass had a road traffic management team. In fact, Commonwealth Bank on Wolf Road is redoing their parking lot, and they have a boy out there with a stop and a go sign, and he just stopping traffic. This boy is a consummate professional traffic stopper. Just to let people in and out the bank, you know. What happened? How come Bahama could have 3,745 cones for every landscaping project they engage in, but y'all could only find 5 cones to give the people at water and sewage, and 1 cone is knocked down in the road while the boy them sit on the side of the road? You mad at me? I'm embarrassed for you, gentlemen. I shame for y'all. And the young set of boy them on Sands Road and East Street the other day, right opposite the police station. It's 2025. It's 2025. We're approaching the elections, and there's a simultaneous conversation going on about the marginalization of men. And these voices pop up, women, just feminism, just destroying men. Men are emasculating themselves. Men are marginalizing themselves in the professional world, in the social world. Bahama have 10,859 million cones, and water and sewage have 7. And I have one of them because 20 years ago, they just abandoned it in the road. And I just have to tell water and sewage, whenever you waken in my neighborhood and you need it, you could come get it. That was not the most outrageous thing. The outrageous thing that happened to me on Sunday morning was as I was approaching Kemp Road on Shirley Street, getting ready to turn left onto Kemp Road on my green light, we had to slow down. Why? Because there was a car at the Kemp Road side of the intersection facing north with their right turn signal on, which meant that they were preparing to turn right in the wrong direction onto Shirley Street. They were preparing to do it as we were trying to enter the Kemp Road intersection. We blew our horn at them. We got their attention. We know that we got their attention. And their decision? The young white woman in the SD decided to turn right. And I thought, okay, this is a tourist who does not know what it is. Not a tourist. Because after everybody in the road blew their horn at the person, the driver, including the westbound traffic that had the right-of-way on Shirley Street after we turned, this individual turned right onto Shirley Street in the wrong direction and then forced their way into the plaza right before the light. They knew where they were going. And they did not care that they were not supposed to do what they were doing. So, Davis, when you say you're getting ready for battle, what do you mean exactly? Don't encourage me to go to battle with Bahamians because I already know who I would like to go to battle with. I got my my tennis parking balls ready. Okay, I ready. But the question is, are you really ready? Are you really ready to go to battle? Are you really ready for governance? You've had approximately 4 years. Are you really ready for governance? That was a lot. But it's not as much as hearing last week that a police officer who, while off duty, in the course of driving an uninsured and unlicensed vehicle, was involved in a collision that resulted in the death of a pedestrian. And the DPP said they couldn't find any charges. They couldn't find anything to charge the off-duty police officer with. Maybe we need to develop standards for governance. Maybe that's what's missing in the conversation. Good morning, Ms. Wallace. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Good. This is very good. I am gathering myself.
Yeah.
I'm catching myself.
Yes.
After a wild weekend and a wild couple of weeks on the road.
That's why I stay off the road.
I too would like to stay off the road, but it turns out that we don't have a public transportation system worth pennies. And that's not to discount who are maintaining a transportation system, particularly for the working class people. But it could be 1,000% better.
For sure, for sure. And it's interesting if you have a pleasant experience on the road, how different you feel
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, and how different you feel when you're not driving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was on the Transforming Spaces tour on Saturday, and it was a little bit less traffic, and our driver was fantastic,
mm-hmm.
really great, very cautious, followed the rules of the road, and it was great just to know that somebody else was at the wheel, they were handling it, and we could have a good time visiting all these different galleries.
Mm-hmm. See, I like the parallel, because the same way that we should be developing and constantly, right, evolving standards for governance, we're supposed to have standards for driving as well and governing ourselves on the road. And so for me, in a process of developing standards for governance, road safety, public safety would be a big issue, and road safety would be a subsection
Absolutely.
Under that issue.
Absolutely.
So tell us, developing feminist standards for governance. Tell us about the program itself, and what do you mean when you say standards for governance? What does that look like?
We started working on the feminist standards for governance around between 2020 and 2021. We were definitely still in some version of lockdown, right? Mm-hmm. Some restrictions. We started online, and we knew that the election was coming up it was supposed to be in 2022. We know it was called early. And we were thinking about ways for the public to engage in governance,
mm-hmm.
to engage in the electoral process beyond the vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many times our citizen engagement gets reduced to this one act every 5 years. And we at Equality Bahamas believe that all of us as citizens, as residents of this country, should be far more engaged. We should know what's going on. We know that there are issues that affect all of us, that concern all of us, and we have to do something beyond calling into radio shows and writing letters to the editor. What else? What else are we going to do other than waiting for these people to come knocking on our doors to convince us to vote for them, or usually not to vote for the other person,
mm-hmm.
right? And political parties generally produce manifestos or charters, these kind of booklets that are full of empty promises, lots of vague language, and even when it's a bit more concrete, it doesn't mean that we can expect them to follow through on any of it
mm-hmm.
for the entire 5 years.
In fact, we have been told boldly, plainly, that a manifesto is just a promise.
Yeah.
Right? And then in the same voice, we're told, also don't expect us to work on anything that we didn't put in the manifesto, but also don't expect us to work on anything we did put in the manifesto.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense. And we become sort of the recipients of these documents, and we're supposed to kind of compare and contrast and decide which one is the worst and then just not vote for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thinking about ways to more fully engage, to invite people to participate as leaders,
mm-hmm.
as people who can drive the agenda for the next 5 years. Again, I said, we know the issues. We know them very well because we deal with them on a day-to-day basis, whereas in many positions of power and influence, and they can kind of buy their way out of these issues, whether with money or their last name or their position. We know what's going on in the country. We know the changes that we want to see. So in the Feminist Standards for Governance, we invite people to join us in identifying issues within particular thematic areas
mm-hmm.
like health, education, social services, environment, identifying those issues, and then we go through a process of delving deeper to figure out what is a systemic issue that is at the foundation mm-hmm. of this issue.
Like, is this the issue or is this a symptom?
A symptom of, exactly.
And can we go deeper?
Exactly. Why does this issue exist? Why hasn't this problem been solved yet? Everyone knows it's a problem. What is the thing that is stopping us from solving this problem? We go through this process that's very different, very interesting. It can be challenging if you've never done something like this before. But we do this for a reason. We do this because we want to learn together. Mm-hmm. We want to create a space for us to have conversations, for us to think critically, challenge ourselves and each other, share our different ideas, but really importantly, to imagine something different. A lot of times we get stuck on the issue, on the problem. And if you just look at the surface issue and not getting at the system, getting at the thing that's causing that issue, along with many other issues, mm-hmm. how can we imagine a different version of the Bahamas, a different way of being, a different way of inhabiting this space?
Mm-hmm. So for me, developing feminist standards for governance, the project, is a solution or a response to an issue that would have been raised for me or that I would have raised 22, 23 years ago in a similar initiative, right? So we know that at the end of the 1997 election cycle as Ingram, he had 92 to 2002.
Yes.
And in that second term, Ingram initiated a constitutional reform exercise. I think there were seven questions in total. One of the questions dealt specifically with gender equality in the Constitution. All the questions failed. I think all the questions failed, if not virtually all failed, but the exercise failed. And in the immediate Christie administration, right after that, the 2002 administration, Christie began the administration by saying that he essentially, his administration believed in the value of the constitutional question of equality between men and women, and they were going to engage in a constitutional reform exercise, right, to explain the process more thoroughly, to educate Bahamians about it, but also what I thought was sort of groundbreaking, to capture responses from the wider public about what we should go forward with, right, in terms of a reform exercise. What do the people want to reform? And so in that space there, 2002, 2003, Caribbean Association for Feminist Research and Action formed a similar project called CRAFT, Constitutional Reform Research and, Constitutional Facilitation Team. And we hosted a series of conversations, workshops and public conversations, framing rights as human rights. So women's rights as human rights, environmental rights as human rights, access to water as human rights. And so one of the issues I had was a lack of citizen engagement. And so developing feminist standards for governance is a part of a process of strengthening citizen engagement in policymaking.
Yes.
Citizen engagement in crafting, developing, curating an administration and what its agenda is, right? And that's a role, I think that's a role constitutionally that citizens are obligated to partake in, right? Although often what we get back from political parties is this, oh, you could participate. You could help to write the agenda. You just got to join the party and be a part of the party. But that's not correct. Citizens should not have to join a political party to be a part of a policy generation mechanism or initiative. In fact, to bring to those who are in a position of governance what the issues are and what we think solutions and strategies which solutions and strategies we think should be applied to the problem.
Absolutely. And that's where the feminism comes in, mm-hmm. creating a space for people to be able to participate regardless of their identities, their affiliations, their memberships. It doesn't matter. You live here, you have a vested interest here, there are things that concern you, come to the space. You don't have to come with any particular set of skills or ways of thinking. We take you through it. Mm-hmm. We roll through this process together, and it takes as long as it takes. We generally set aside about 2 hours for the process to work through an issue or two You probably get to maybe 1.5, depending on the personal experiences that people decide to share and, you know, whether or not we get kind of stuck on a step. Mm-hmm. That happens sometimes, depending on how complicated the issue is or whether or not we have enough information. Sometimes we have to go and search for more information to be able to move the process forward. But what is really important to us is that people are truly able to participate in the process. We are trying to remove any barriers from people being able to contribute to what we're considering to be a people's manifesto or a people's charter. It's us coming together as people in the Bahamas saying, these are our administration. This is the level to rise to. Mm-hmm. It's not good enough for you to try to sell us these flimsy promises that we don't even know that you're going to follow through on. We are telling you what we want, what we need, what we demand. And we're coming together to do it. And it's also a way of kind of building that political will on the ground because we're able to work on it together. We can stand together and say, no, we already told you. It's 2027, 2028, but we told you in 2025, these were the things that we expected of you.
Yeah. So, you know, live up to them, or at the very least, acknowledge that you didn't live up to them. Acknowledge that you heard them. Acknowledge that you either you considered them or you wholesale didn't consider them, right? But be honest about it.
Absolutely.
All right. So how are people going to develop the standards? Like, what does a working group, what does this process look like?
We have about 8 facilitators right now. That's just from our first training session that we had in May. We're going to have another one in June. And all of these people, they have expertise and experience in different areas, and they will go forth and invite family members, friends, coworkers, people from their book clubs to join them to have a conversation within the thematic area that is comfortable to them. So you might have a nurse who says, well, I really want to work on health, or a teacher who wants to work on education. And sometimes you have people who work in a particular field, but they're interested in another one. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know what, I really want to take on social services. I have some family members who struggled for various reasons, and the assistance that they got wasn't sufficient. And I have some ideas of what we can do. And so you bring together your group and you talk about issues. And at first it's kind of just throwing stuff at the wall. These are all the things that I see when I think about the healthcare system and the gaps that we have. It's one issue that they want to dig into and talk through. And that facilitator will help them to think about, okay, so this is our issue. Why does it exist? And sometimes you have to ask why 5-6 times before you get
to the real issue. Taking steps
get beyond
down.
The symptoms. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And then you figure out, well, who is responsible for this? Where does this happen? Who does this happen to the most or the most often? Because we know that our experiences are not equal, right? We have completely different experiences if we go into the hospital.
People who catch the bus every day are tending to have different experiences from people who drive every day.
Exactly. Yeah. There are so many things that determine the way that we experience the same event.
Yeah.
So that's the reason that we really want to bring a lot of people together in small groups so that there's room to have this conversation. But we're thinking specifically about women, children, migrant people. We're thinking about people with disabilities, and we're encouraging the people in the group to think very specifically about these groups of people and how they encounter this issue.
And so let me take that as they go into that space right there. We are centering those who are the most vulnerable, or typically the most vulnerable, right? And so women, girls, and children. But here's why. I was thinking about a situation. Access to public bathrooms.
Right.
Right? We don't have nearly sufficient access to public bathrooms, right? Considering walking, the significant number of people who walk don't drive, right? And even for those who are driving, imagine you on Milo Butler Highway in the morning trying to get to work for 1 hour and 15 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And you have an incontinence issue, you have male, you have an issue with your kidneys or something. There's nowhere to stop, right? But we think, oh, men stop and pee on the side of the road. They open the car door, they turn at the right angle. You know what they're doing, but you can't see it. And we seem to be fine with that. But what about women? What do women? We don't think about women. And so I was having a conversation with someone about marginalization of men, and I'm just trying to reinforce that men are being marginalized, but not by women, not by feminism. Men are being marginalized by patriarchy, right? Because that same system that doesn't consider that women also need to use the bathroom outside of the home or the office space doesn't think about men with incontinence issues. They don't think about men who, due to medication that they're taking, they have to urinate every 15 minutes. Right? Like, men are also marginalized, invisibilized, decentered by the same patriarchy that men believe is supposed to be propping them up.
Yes, and it's important to note that when you think about the people who have it the worst, mm-hmm. who have the greatest struggle, and you plan with them and around their needs, you capture, you meet the needs of everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, dear guest.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, speaking of human rights, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. you know, that thing I'd mentioned the other day, you know that person at the gas station, you know, they actually had bought $100 worth of gas, gasoline, and so they were denied that. But I want to get on with freedom and sanity and right to express yourself, right, Ms. Green? Mm-hmm. I want you to do me a favor, but I'll make this very quickly. What I'm saying, Ms. Green, what frightened me is the fact that I don't want to change the show. The fact that when you speak the truth on the air, you people don't know, and you're being made to look like a fool, right? I want some corrections to be made factually, because when people come on the airwaves, you must be educated about things, Ms. Green. We're not living in a scientific dictatorship. The lady was on Dwight's show this morning. She
I don't know what happened, 52. The call just cut. Let's go to the next caller quickly. We move through this, and then I get some texts. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, McGreen. 30 seconds at your time, ma'am, please. So something you mentioned a little while back, a few seconds back, this portion of going to public places like a bank or something like that, and you have a health problem and you want to use the bathroom, and the people tell you, we're not allowed patrons to use the bathroom, and I normally ask them, what does the staff do when they have to go to the bathroom? I'm in your bank line, I'm standing up, I have a urinary problem, I need to use the bathroom, what do you want me to do? Put it a bathroom in every one of these public places that we go into to spend our money, spend our time, stand on lines, and when something happens to me, you tell me, I can't use the restroom. Have a good day.
Thank you. Let's go to the next caller. Let's do a couple callers, and then we get to the text line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry we missed you guys. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. 242-300-5720, Family Island toll-free line, and then 422-GR96 is the text line. Caller, producer, we got time to take this caller? No, I'm so sorry, caller. You got to hold the line until the other side of the break. Just as we go to the break, the texter say, did you say porky instead of pokin? Porkin? I cry shame on you, Miss Green. Because you can't say porkin ball, because it's not. It's a tennis ball. But a pocky ball is when you take that tennis ball and you wet that up and then you put it in the freezer. I didn't want to tell you all my secrets. But I also don't like going to war. That's why I don't be talking them things. No need to talk them things. Put that pocky ball down. Don't keep sweetheart no more. No more hot dog sauce. We're going to a break. Stay tuned. On the clock. Erin Green.
Sorrow, truth says she wanna borrow to pay a bill she can give it back tomorrow.
I believe that.
Oh, she tell me she wants 300.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing me knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fool with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. 157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure-treated roofing ply, starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 a rule. Felt, 15 pounds, $16.50. 30 pounds, $19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of Roof Cement, $33.47. All sizes, treated dimensional lumber. And, of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half-inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Measles is on the rise around the world, and the Bahamas is at risk,
which makes us very vulnerable as a nation for the possible outbreak of measles cases.
Every Saturday in May from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., the Ministry of Health and Wellness will host MMR immunization visits in South Beach, Coconut Grove, Fox Hill, and Elizabeth Estates. Clinics in these areas will remain open until 8 p.m. twice per week. Get your child immunized now.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Okay, a little housekeeping. Tomorrow's show, I am saving tomorrow's show. I'm inviting residents in Abaco to call in and share with us their experiences with the fires, the raging, ongoing fires. We've been told that they're out. The 2 days of rain was a blessing. We want to make sure that they're out, but stories coming out of the media on Friday indicating that especially in and near Spring City, it's toxic smoke. One resident had to fly to Rand Memorial. They said that the doctor said if you had not come earlier, you would have had a serious bronchial, I think, infection, right? And so I'm opening the space tomorrow for primarily residents from Abaco to call in and share their stories. 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720 is a toll-free number. I want to go to the text line, but the phone line is lit up. Ms. Wallace, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Caller, were you able to wait? No? Good morning, caller.
Good morning to both of you.
Morning, sir.
Good morning.
Standards for governance. I'm hearing something echoing in my head concerning that. And I think your guest mentioned, imagine something different. That's what we cannot do. It appears as though we are stuck on these colors, that we can't realize that there's more colors in the spectrum of light than red and, you know, that other one.
Mm-hmm.
So battle ready It's the easy thing to do to get people all stirred up with anger and hate and anxiety and all this bleakness so that we could be turning against each other. This is the season that we are going into. I asked one of your hosts one time ago if we are choosing the one of two evils. Mm-hmm. And why do Christians participate in a game where they're choosing one of two devils? But that's for another day. But we're talking about getting battle ready, and we can't even bring unity. You see, what the country needs is unity. And I want both political parties to look at this young man in Burkina Faso, Ibrahim Traoré, is bringing unity to the whole of Africa. And I want citizens to look and see what he's doing, because this is what we need in the Bahamas. We need leaders who are going to unite us instead of continue to divide us every 5 years like we are going into right now, which is foolishness. All right? This man has declared war on colonialism. And, you know, if you were to go in Burkina Faso and you say something negative about this man, you won't leave alive. It's because they worship him in a very, very good way. You know, there are pictures of him all throughout. And guess who put the pictures up? The citizens. He didn't put them up. So obviously he's doing something right that I think these little buffoons we got running around here could learn from. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, sir. Let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? Ah. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-570, toll-free for Family Island listeners. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Okay, quick call just came in. We're going to go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. I sorry I got caught up. I don't know if it was done by the producer or what, but...
No.
You know, anyone, if you look at Marcus Garvey Woods, anyone who deals with the unification of Africa will be targeted by the West. But I wanted to make a correction, Ms. Green. That is factual.
Okay.
Somebody said on the radio that pneumonia is bacterial, but it's viral, it's fungal, and it's bacterial also. And I want somebody to come and clear up. There is a difference between vaccinations and immunizations.
All right.
They're used interchangeably, but you need vaccinations to produce immunity, but there is natural immunity. That's all I was saying. There's a one-way model paradigm. And the lady said that you cannot kill the immune system cannot kill virus. Yes, the immune system can kill virus. I'm saying,
okay.
Be careful what you're spilling on the airways, Ms. Green.
I got you, but I wasn't part of that conversation, 52, right? That's, yeah.
The earlier caller was saying that imagination is something we can't do.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about that. I'm turning that over in my head because...
What do you mean?
We can do it. It has been made difficult for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As children, you imagine all kinds of things. Children make up games. They, you know, they playing in the dirt making soup. You know, it's all kinds of things that are possible until... In many cases, you enter the school system and you get taught all the things that aren't possible, right? And you need to stick to this particular lesson plan, and we don't want your questions, and you don't get to question things that we're presenting to you as facts. And we get taught out of imagining. And it's why processes like the Feminist Standards for Governance workshops are so important. It's a muscle that we have to build. A lot of us have lost the practice, and it is hard. But I want people to know that it is something that we can do.
And not only is it something that we can do, it's something that we're constantly doing, because the political class, politicians every election cycle convince you to imagine the world they create. And you imagine it. You are convinced and you vote for them, right? And two prime examples, Perry Christie's, is it perennial? Is that the word, story? My father was a taxi driver. My mommy was a nurse. I drop out of school. I catch sense. And I became prime minister of the country. Right? Reverend Simeon Hall tells a similar story. Choke Neck Alley. He dropped out of school. He went to night school. The nurse, the nuns there created an environment that inspired him to do more for himself. They created a space where he imagined that he was more than that he presented himself as at the moment, right? And all of these political leaders and social leaders tell these same stories every election cycle, to the point where Brave Davis tried to convince us, my great-great-great-granddaddy was a subsistence farmer. He used to turn rocks into bread, you know, to send me to university. They tell these stories. When they want us to imagine, they convince us to imagine what they want to be real. It's a matter of taking that back, right? And when we get into our cars every day, we imagine that there's nobody else on the road or nothing else matters. We do it all the time, right? But imagining for the purpose of creating, like the hard work of imagining beyond exist.
And it's something that's missing, the collective imagination, mm-hmm. coming together. And it might start with an issue, but it's nice to not have to think about an issue, to be able to imagine a world that we can create together.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phone line quickly and then to the text line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Erin.
Morning.
And good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Yeah, Erin, I'll touch on something earlier when you were talking about Eastern Road. Malcolm Road East goes from E Street to Ken East up.
Uh-huh.
Is that middle road in the middle there what goes in the Pinewood with 112 on? And if you hadn't slowed down but on that, man, and I addressed this situation on the radio about 5, 6, 7 years ago. Erin, they cut out a 3x3 box.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get a 6-inch trench, 4 inches deep, go to the next side of the road. Go to the, man, come on, man, Erin. My car need a inner tire rod in now. If mm-hmm. you speeding, I mean, if you just making the speed limit 30 miles, 40 miles per hour, you was hit that so hard, and people could run up in the back of you. Man, come on, Ministry of Works or whatever, clay sweeping. The people who going to fix these, whatever, put down pipe, water, cable, Bahamas, whoever. Okay, because, man, have the people on the scene to throw fill in the trench as soon as you finish it, or throw some tar, because if it rain, the fill will wash out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do clay sweeping them, the permanent secretary that works, or the director, with this road, the same roads would be riding on. You know, the lady and the boss said, drop it on trench, when Ingram out all the road, dig up. And he sued the Bahamas government, and he win. Could we sue Cable Bahamas and water and sewage them, man?
I blame the Bar Association for not telling anybody.
Yeah, man, because I addressed this on a radio station but 6 years ago. There's cut this trench, 6 inches wide, 4 inches deep, no fill in it. You're making 30 miles, 40 miles. You said them for CV joints and everything. You can't go to the government again, nothing, man. No money back or no one. You know, I'm giving you nothing, man.
You
people need to start suing them, man.
They
will feel it in their pockets. And then they can start to do simple things, man.
Standards.
You can't get nothing right in this country.
Standards for governance.
If I was the Minister of Works, I'd say, this is a policy. Look here, whoever wakes up cutting these roads, put the fill in right away and pave it right away, man.
I got
you. Some type of stupid country, man. And you all have a nice day, man.
Thank you. See why I don't like using the words? I tell you all the words I don't like to use, and I already hear two of them right away. But it really feels like buffoonery. 35, I'm 49, I just turned 49. I've been voting, I think I missed the cutoff for the 1992 election. I just turned 16, I think. I missed the cutoff for the 1992 election. In the whole time that I've been voting, none of it's making any sense. None of it. None at all. Everything is just getting worse. It's just getting worse and worse. We have more available to us, and we're producing less and less. Carl, I got to go to the text line. Hey, Muff, you think these people care about y'all and y'all car? That's why I stopped buying expensive cars to ride around with all these vices. Okay, here we go. But what they don't tell you is the poor man's story. Everybody over the hill had low wages and jobs, and it was common to stop school at a young age. It was thought that was all the education you needed. You could read and write. Text, I glad I waded through that, because it seems as if our ancestors were able to do more with less. And we have more, and we're producing less, right? Oh, boy. Good morning, Erin. This message is for the ill-minded, ruthless demon that hit my nephew yesterday, Fire Trail Road, and drove off. You better park that truck before you end up on brakes. There's too many wicked people driving over here. Ooh, Matt Aaron, good morning to you and your guests. A similar text. And then, Miss Wallace, this is the text here. This is we end the show. Sister Wallace, don't fool yourself, not because former Senator Rodney Munker is dead. Nobody listening to the foolishness what former Prime Minister Ingram is saying. We the Bahamian people is not for this. Can you understand this? Text, I want to say, I could barely understand your text. And tell me, so what you're saying is criminalization of rape and addressing citizenship inequality in the Constitution. You ain't into that. That's just foolishness. You ain't into that. Okay, Texter. That's why y'all voted Ingram out? Because he's into that? I just asking. And another text says, yes, we want to know what about the issues. Are the issues only about sex? We didn't talk about sex as an issue.
No. Health, education, social services, women and LGBTQI plus people, the environment, governance, economy. There are a number of thematic
labor.
Areas. There are about nine. Labor. Yeah. Labor and the economy are together. There are about nine thematic areas, and more may emerge based on what people bring to these sessions. So the next one is, we have Women's Wednesday. It's the first Wednesday of the month at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, 6 o'clock. That's when the next session will be. So join us for that one. And you'll start to see, if you follow us at Equality 242 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, you'll see the specific sessions for particular sessions. So if you have a particular area of interest, you can sign up for that and join us and be able to contribute to what will be a set of demands by the people, a standard that's being set
a people's manifesto.
For the next, exactly.
Yeah.
For the next administration.
So when a candidate or prospective candidate presents themselves, they're not going to have the manifesto in hand. I just want you all to know, right? Like when they come to you, they don't have the manifesto in hand. But you may have something
you have ours.
To give
you
to them.
You should have ours, for sure.
Anyway, we are all out of time. I'm sorry if I miss your text. But just as we go, Texas says, by the way, a tourist knocked down in the Hilton parking lot yesterday. Question mark. Was a tourist knocked down in the Hilton parking lot yesterday? I passed and saw someone sitting there. Down in the entrance where tourists generally cross the head to Junkanoo Beach. I tell you what I have seen though. Y'all stop parking your cars on the sidewalk outside the banks. On Friday on my way home, the car was parked. You know, they didn't park parallel with the road. They parked perpendicular to the road right outside Scotiabank on East Bay Street. Almost as if they don't have security guards and police don't drive up there all day, every day. Standards for governance, feminist or otherwise. Let's start developing them. You've been on the clock with Erin Green. And tomorrow we're talking Abaco fires, Spring City, hazardous conditions. If you're in Abaco, call, share the story. Let the New Providence people and everybody in the Bahamas know what's going on in Abaco. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. Thank you, Ms. Wallace. Thank you, Equality Bahamas.
Thank you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.